I said, man, here I was yesterday. I told my wife, I said, look, I think I'm gonna end up going sitting in the car. I can't even watch this game. I said, this thing is messing me up. I said, man, you need to take some of that energy now and turn it into praise. You know, I mean, we put all that energy into things like that, a game that's gonna be over. And you know, after this season, the game is really not gonna mean a whole lot. And we put all that, and we don't have any praise left for God. You know, we praise the football players. We praise the baseball players. We praise the basketball players. We praise the musicians. We praise the actor, and we don't have any praise left for God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of How to Get Your Praise On. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Get Your Praise On.
And this morning we want to look at the 100th Psalm and speak to you on this subject. How to get your praise on. How to get your praise on. The first week we started looking at the Psalms of Lament. And those were the Psalms that told us how to go to God when we have an issue in our life, when we have a problem in our life, and we needed to cry out unto God. Last week we looked at the imprecatory Psalms. And that those are the Psalms that teach us how to pray for our enemies and help us to put in perspective some of the hard things that the psalmist was saying so that we can understand that there was a context in which to fit those in. The basis for the series of messages that we are preaching out of the Psalms actually comes from Psalm 45, where in Psalm 45, verse 1, the psalmist said, "My heart is overflowing with a good matter. I will speak of the things which I have made touching the king." And I love this right here. He says, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You know what the psalmist was saying here? The psalmist was saying, "Lord, let my heart write psalms for you. Lord, thank you for touching the psalmist and allowing the psalmist to write psalms so that they are recorded in the scripture. But Lord, let me write my own psalms. Let me write the psalms that will come out of my heart in my situations of desperation. Lord, let me write psalms that will come out of my heart when I'm in the heat of the battle with my enemy. Lord, let me write psalms that will come out of my heart when I need to come before you and confess. Lord, let me write psalms that would flow out of my heart when I have praise and thanksgiving and adoration in my heart. Lord, let me write some psalms from you." And you know what? Those songs become more meaningful to you because they are born and they are birthed out of your own personal situations. And this morning, as we look at this 100th Psalm, there are some elements in this psalm that will, as I've been saying over the last couple of weeks, if we will implement these things into our prayer lives. And, you know, we don't expect people to, every time they sit down, as we go through this series of messages on the Psalms of Lament and Confession and Petition and the Pastoral Psalms and the Acrostic Psalms and the Historical Psalms and the Imprecatory Psalms and the Declaration Psalm, when we go through all these Psalms, we don't expect you to sit down every time you go to the Lord in prayer and say, "Okay, Pastor Glaze said, you know, let me," no, don't. No. What we're trying to do is give you a model that when you really want to pray and you really want to come before God biblically, that there are certain models that if we really go back and study the Psalms, that there are models in the Psalms that they're doing in all of these, and it should speak to our hearts. You know, as I was saying earlier, I spent about 3 months just going through all the Psalms and putting them into categories and just studying them. And this morning, we are looking at the praise and worship songs. And as we look at praise and worship songs, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. There are 29 psalms of praise. And as we study these psalms out, check this out now, because I don't want you to miss this. This is the point, and this is the method behind this whole series, is this. Is that there is a certain structure that the psalmist uses in these praise psalms. And we would be wise if we would see the structure that's being formulated in these psalms and model our praise and worship accordingly. As we look at the 100th psalm, we see that this is a prototype of the psalms of praise. Because in the 100th psalm, we find all the elements that should be included in a psalm of praise. So that when you get ready to write a psalm of praise, that all you have to do is model it after the 100th psalm, which is what we are going to do this morning. Now, you know, God places a great emphasis on praise. And I don't know why. You know, in the New Testament, God talks about service, and he talks about holy living and things of that nature. And he talks about praise in the New Testament, too. But isn't it amazing that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God places a great deal of emphasis on praise? As a matter of fact, one thing that he is very adamant about is that the dead can't praise God. If you are dead physically, you can't praise God. If you are dead spiritually, you can't praise God. Look at some of these verses. Just journey with me for a second on some of these verses. Let's look at Psalm 6 and verse 5. This is powerful. Now, God is trying to get a message to us through these psalms. Psalm 6 and verse 5. For in death there is no remembrance of thee, and in Sheol, who shall give thee thanks? Lord, who's going to praise you from the grave? Lord, when I'm dead and I'm laying in the grave, who's going to praise you? Psalm 30 and verse 9. Psalm 30 and verse 9. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Lord, that when I'm lowered into my grave, will the dust praise you? Psalm 88, verses 10 and 11. Will thou show wonders to the dead? Lord, will you touch the dead? Lord, I mean, we know he can raise the dead if he wants to, but the psalmist is talking about here those who have died. As far as we know, there's only been several individuals who have been raised from the dead, and that's not the normal practice of God to raise the dead. But he says here, will thou show wonders to the dead? God, when you do great things, Lord, when you put your rainbow in the sky, was it for dead people? Lord, when you put food on somebody's table, was it for dead people? He said, will thou show thy wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thankfulness in destruction? Wow. Psalm 115, verse 17. Psalm 115 and verse 17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Psalm 118 and verse 17. Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but live. And why is that? And declare the works of the Lord. Why has God put breath in your body? To declare his works. Why is God keeping you alive? To declare his works. And then finally, look at Psalm 119, verse 175. Psalm 119, verse 175. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thine ordinances help me. So in the word, the psalmist seems to put a great emphasis on the fact that we are alive. Yeah, we are alive to praise the Lord. That the people in the grave don't praise God. The dust don't praise the Lord. That those who have passed on, now they may, if they were saved and have gone on to glory, we know that they're praising him in heaven. But I mean, we're talking about on earth, all right? Because I know I got somebody, you know, I always get a super spiritual saint, you know, say, well, don't they praise him in heaven? Yeah, they do. Okay, yeah, we're talking about here. Why has God left you here? You know, why are you on the face of this earth? You know, one reason is to praise God. Revelation 4:11 says, for his pleasure, we were created. That God didn't create us so that we could live unto ourselves and do our own thing. But one of the things that God created us for is to praise Him. And when we are praising God, we are serving the highest purpose. When we are praising God, we are serving the highest purpose for which He has put us here on this earth. But you know what I find? That the problem is that we praise so many other things. We praise the ball player. We praise the boxer. We praise the actor. We praise the musician. And sometimes we praise all these other areas and we don't have any praise left for God. And God said that He's a jealous God. And to give it to somebody else is to rob Him of the praise that's rightfully due Him. And you know, I went to, my son had a football game yesterday, and I'm coming to the conclusion that one of the worst things for me at this point is to go to a college football game. There was a lady that was sitting behind us, and her cousin was the defensive coordinator. And now my son plays defense, and this guy was the offensive coordinator. And all she talked about, oh, Cuz is just a great offensive coordinator. He's able to do this and he's able to do that. And every time something happened, well, the defense should have did this. And the defense should have did that. And now my son plays defense. And my wife is sitting right there next to me. And my wife started saying, well, if the offense would do this. And I was trying to constrain myself, and I was trying, but you know what, I just found myself also saying, come on, man, you guys got to run the route right. You got to catch the ball. The other team is catching the ball. You got to catch the ball too. And I told my wife, I said, you know what, I said, this don't make any sense. I said, I'm getting in the flesh here. I said, I really am getting in the flesh. And you, I don't know if anybody saw the other day this out in California, where those individuals jumped on the coach and they started a big fight. I mean, man, they were hitting people square in the jaw, man. Boom, knocking them out. I said, now all this over a football game, all this, man, they're taking all their energy and all their effort and going out there jumping on folks, fighting them for a football game. I said, man, here I was yesterday. I told my wife, I said, look, I think I'm gonna end up going sitting in the car. I can't even watch this game. I said, this thing is messing me up. I said, man, you need to take some of that energy now and turn it into praise. You know, I mean, we put all that energy into things like that, a game that's going to be over. And you know, after this season, the game is really not going to mean a whole lot. And we put all that, and we don't have any praise left for God. You know, we've praised the football players. We've praised the baseball players. We've praised the basketball players. We've praised the musicians. We've praised the actor. And we don't have any praise left for God. And God is encouraging our hearts to do the one thing, first and foremost, that He's put us here for. And that's to praise Him. He said, the reason you have life in your body is to praise Him. The dead don't praise Him. We should praise Him. And as we look at the 100th Psalm, we see that there is a structure that we find in the Psalms that help us to understand how to get our praise on. Now, if you'll notice across the top, I've taken five Psalms that are prototypes of the Psalms. And in these five Psalms, you will be able to find most of the elements that we are going to talk about this morning. Now, if you pull out, you don't have to pull it out, but the sheet that I gave you the first week, where we broke down every psalm and we listed what category it came under, if you will look under the psalms when you get a chance, you will find that all of these psalms contain some of these elements. Now, they might not contain every element that we're going to talk about this morning, but to a great degree, they contain some of the elements that we will find today. And my reason for doing this is to help us to learn how to praise. This morning, I want to teach you how to praise. Somebody say, well, I already know how to praise. But there is a structure that we find that will help us to praise him according to the word. The first thing we see is that in most psalms, in most of the praise psalms, that there is a call for an introductory response from the worshiper. That before the psalmist begins the praise, before the psalmist gets their praise on, that there is a response that comes from the psalmist. In Psalm 100, it calls for the psalmist to make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. In the 95th psalm, the psalmist said, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord," in verse 1. In Psalm 105, it says, "Sing to him, sing psalms to him." In Psalm 145, it says, "I will extol you, my God, O King." That word extol means to lift him up. And then in Psalm 147, it says, "Praise the Lord." So as you come to God in praise, the first thing that you need to realize is that if you're going to pray according to the structures found in the Psalms, that there is a call for some kind of response to you. And you may come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm going to sing to you this morning. I'm going to make a joyful noise to you. Lord, I'm going to write a psalm for you this morning or this evening. Lord, I'm going to just come and I'm just going to flat out praise you this morning." Or according to one psalmist, "Lord, I'm going to extol you this morning." But when you come and you pray according to the psalm, the first thing you do if you want to pray according to the structure is that you should identify how you want to come to God. What am I going to do? What's going to be my response as I come to you this morning or this day, Lord? I like the one in Psalm 145 where the psalmist says that, "I will extol you, oh God. I will lift you up." I like the story that I heard of the lady. Her name was called Sister 1900. And the reason they called her Sister 1900 because nobody knew how old she was. And they just knew that she was born in the 1900s. And so they called her Sister 1900. And this preacher was preaching at a church. And she was preaching, and she would always sit in front and say, "Lift him up, lift him up." And the preacher said, I'm gonna lift Jesus up this morning. I'm going to lift him up, and I'm going to lift him up so high that Sister 1900 is not going to say, "Lift him up." And he was preaching, and he had Christ lifted up and glorified and seated at the right hand of God. And the whole time she was saying, "Lift him up, lift him up." And he stopped in the middle of his message and said, "Sister 1900, I'm lifting him up." And she said, "Well, lift him up a little higher." And you know, that's what we got to do. You know, "Lord, I'm coming to you today, and I'm going to lift you up. Oh, God, that's how I'm approaching you today, Lord. I'm going to lift you up." Or sometimes put on a song and just say, "Lord, before I get my praise on today, I'm going to put a song on. Oh, it's mighty nice to have a Christ. Who will our friend be? Christ is all in all, this world to me." Oh, I'm going to lift you up today, Lord, with a song. I'm going to glorify you today with a song. I'm going to set my heart right today, Lord, with a song. And there are some songs that will set your soul on fire if you will get into that good gospel music and put your mind right for praise. And, you know, sometimes we just need to come. You know, we have all these requests. Well, I got to pray for so-and-so, and I got to pray for this one, and I got to pray for that one. Man, why don't you just come sometime and say, "Look, let's put aside all the rest of this. My psalm of lament, my imprecatory psalm, my psalm of confession, let me shove them all aside and let me just praise him. Let me just praise him." Man, I think God might have a heart attack if some of us did that. We might have a heart attack. Just to praise him and lift him up. So first of all, there's a call for an introductory response from the worshiper. Secondly, we see that there is an awareness of God's presence. Wow. Whew. There's awareness of God's presence. The 100th Psalm in verse 2 says, "Come before his presence with singing." His presence. Come into his presence. Psalm 95, verse 2 says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." Psalm 105, verse 1 says, call upon his name. Realize who you're talking to. And then Psalm 147 says, for it is good to sing praises to our God. His presence. That as I have that introductory response, and now I'm coming into his presence, I realize that I have an audience with the God of the universe. That this God who sits high and who walks low, that this God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, that this God who is watching over all, who sees all, has decided to join me in my time with him. To sense the presence of God. When we were in Virginia, we had the opportunity to go to one of the caverns down there. And they would take you down into these deep, dark caverns, and the guide would have a flashlight, and there would be lights all along the way. And they would get you back so far, and then they would say, we want you to see what it feels like to sense total darkness. And you'd be back maybe 100 yards or so in the cavern, and then all of a sudden they just cut out all the lights. I mean, in this pitch dark, you can't even see your hand in front of your eyes. That's how dark it is. And it's just nothing but stillness. But you know what? They usually take about 20 or 30 people. And you know what you know all around you? The presence of other people. That there's other people around you. You can't see them. You just, and the guide says, don't say anything. Everybody just gets quiet. But there's just that assurance that everybody else is around you. In the midst of the darkness, that everybody else is around you. And when we come in our praise time, that's why, you know, God in the Bible condemns folk for praising him with their lips and their heart being far from him. And there's a whole lot of people that praise God with their lips and their heart is nowhere near God. This morning, maybe you might have sat there and your mind is, you know, on some biscuits in the oven, or your mind is on that problem that you have, and you came and somebody said it here earlier. I think Brother Forbes said it. You know, we come to praise the Lord. That was the first thing he said when he opened up the service today, is that we've come to praise the Lord. Some folk just sat there. Now, once again, not that we're saying that you have to make a noise or you have to say anything, but I could tell that for some folk that just didn't move them, you know, because they just kept doing what they were doing. So there was no moving in the heart when it said, we come to praise the Lord. And so there may be some of you sitting here today that even though you're in the midst of praise and you're in the congregation of praise, that there's not praise in your heart. And that's why God says we have to recognize his presence. We have to understand his presence. That if, who are you praising? If you got on a song and you say, well, I'm getting my praise on. I hear people say all the time, I'm getting my praise on. Well, where's your heart at? Have you realized the presence of God in this situation? I mean, is God near you? Is God close? Can you sense his presence? Like being in that dark cavern when they cut out all the lights and you can sense the presence of other people around you. Can you sense the presence of God when you come into your praise time? Can you sense his presence? But some of us, we praise and our heart is far away from our lips. Man, it's just, I don't know how it happens. We just divorce the two. We separate the two. There's our lips over here and our heart over here. And they're not even lining up anywhere near.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Get Your Praise On. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Get Your Praise On, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Get Your Praise On. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Get Your Praise On. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.